T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Right now on the line is Radio.com Sports NFL insider Ross Tucker. Ross is also the host of You Better You Bet. Make sure you check out You Better You Bet's countdown to the draft, airing tonight live at 10 o'clock on 92.3 The Fan or on that great Radio.com app. Hey, Ross, how are you? Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, Ross.
Hey, Ross, we were just debating real quick. You were here for about a month, is that right, in 06?
Yeah,
did you ever step in?
That's okay. Exactly correct. I was in New England,
right?
And Charles Bentley tore his knee up, and I think Bob Howland retired. So I was on the practice field for the Patriots, supposed to be the second string center during a 2-minute drill, and they put another guy in instead of me. I was like, wow, that's not a good sign. Like, it was my day to do the 2-minute drill. And then I was going to have to say something to the coach, like, why didn't I get my day? And at the end of the, we broke it down as an offensive line. He's like, Ross, I need to talk to you. I'm like, okay. He said, we just traded you to Cleveland. And I had already been cut 3 times at that point. So, like, traded sounded actually cool. I was like, traded for what? And he said, I don't know, probably a bag of balls.
And did he really? Ross?
It's funny because I remember going in the cold tub to get ready because I knew I was like going to be going to Cleveland, and some of the guys, like Brady, was in the cold tub, and Larry Izzo was like, don't piss in the cold tub. Now you don't play for us anymore. And everybody's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I just got traded to Cleveland. So that night I flew to Cleveland. I started the next 3 preseason games at center. I played average. I was an average player. I thought I played fine. And then they cut me. I was like, shocked, and they traded for Hank Fraley. Final cutdown day. I had only started like 5 games at center. My other 20 starts were at guard. So they got Hank Fraley from the Eagles, and they cut me. That was like a top 5 worst day of my life. I appreciate you bringing that up.
Oh, well, good. I just want to start your day off in a great way.
Is it? Yeah.
I'm just messing with you guys. I'm just messing with you guys. It's all good now. It's all good.
Okay. So as a diehard member of the Browns Alumni Club,
yes.
I know you're paying dues and everything. As you look at this team heading into the draft, they're screaming left tackle, Ross. Are you screaming left tackle for this team, or do you think you can find a left tackle elsewhere? I love getting the opinion of offensive linemen on this subject. Do you need to draft one high, or could you go second, third round, find somebody else? What would you do?
So you can't go second or third round. There's just not enough trust there that guy would be able to plug in right away and protect Baker Mayfield's backside. They actually have pretty good options here. You know, there are teams that are drafting after them, like the Jets at 11 or the Bucks at 14, that might be out of luck. I mean, if the Giants take a tackle and – the Arizona Cardinals take a tackle, maybe even the Jaguars. I think there's a very real chance that the Bucks get the last guy. I mean, I'm sorry, that the Browns get the last guy. I don't know if that happens or not, but the Browns might get the 4th guy out of 4 to go off the board. I don't really envision a scenario where he still wouldn't be there, that they wouldn't at least be able to get one of them. Now, the question is, if the guys that are available are Jedrick Wills from Alabama or Tristan Wirfs from Iowa, who have both been right tackles in college, The question is whether or not the Browns are willing to do that, whether they're willing to take a guy at 10 and then switch his position, because it's not as easy as people think it is. You know, I played all five spots, so I played both sides. Not as easy as people think it is. The good news for the Browns is, like, let's say something crazy happened and all four tackles were gone, but Isaiah Simmons was still there, the linebacker from Clemson. Or maybe there's only one tackle left, but it's the guy that the Browns liked the least, and he's a right tackle mainly. Jason Peters is still out there. Trent Williams is still available. So, like, they're going to get a left tackle, and they're going to get a good left tackle. They're in a fortunate position that they have other options other than just the first round of the draft. If things don't unfold the way they want to, or maybe they unfold in a way in which the Browns could get a guy like Simmons, that off-the-ball linebacker, then they can trade a second-round pick for Trent Williams, or maybe just give Jason Peters the money he wants to hold it down at left tackle for 1 year.
Ross Tucker joining us, one of my all-time favorite Cleveland Browns. Radio.com is where he's at now, but he's also on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Andrew Berry, the Browns' new GM, said a tackle is a tackle. From what I'm hearing, what you just said, I don't know that that's necessarily true. How hard is it for it to be a right tackle trying to play left tackle, or a left tackle trying to sneak over to the right side?
I think what he was saying is that there's not really a distinction between the importance of the two positions anymore. And I would agree with him on that. And I think it's been that way for a while. You know, before, everybody would put their best pass rusher, their Lawrence Taylor type, over the left tackle to attack the quarterback's blind side, since they're almost all right-handed. So you really needed a left tackle with good feet who was a good pass protector. You could maybe get away with a right tackle that was a little bit more of a grunt, maybe more physical run blocker type. But nowadays, so many teams are putting their best pass rusher, Von Miller and Khalil Mack and these guys, over the right tackle, that you can no longer put a stiff out there. You know, you need like a legit right tackle, which is why they paid the money they did for Jack Conklin. Like, you need a good right tackle. You can't just put anybody out there. So I think that was the point he was making, is that they're both equally important. I don't think he was saying that it's easy to just flip these guys. Now, I'm not telling you Tristan Wirfs and Jedrick Wills can't play left tackle. They probably can, but it's a difference, man. Like, the Eagles drafted Andre Dillard in the first round last year. He did okay at left tackle when he played some games. When they put him in at right tackle, he looked awful. Because if you're not used to it, your feet are different, your hand placement's different, your weight transfer is different. So if the Browns take Wirfs or Wills at number 10 and think he's going to be at left tackle, I would worry about him, especially early in the season, especially with whatever the offseason program is going to look like because of the virus.
Ross Tucker's joining us. Ross, you spent a year in New England, and you mentioned, you know, in the cold tub with Tom Brady the day you get traded. What did you think when this whole thing ended between Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and Tom went to Tampa? And second part of that, I want you to follow up. Does Belichick think he can win with what he has, or do you think he's looking for a quarterback? But what did you think when it came to an end?
So it's weird, because from being there in 05 and the 06 offseason until I got traded to Cleveland, as I mentioned, I always thought Brady would end up somewhere else. Because he's a total psychopath, and I mean that like as a compliment. But we would do like off-season like agility drills, like the ladder on the ground or whatever, or doing drills through cones. And he was really bad at it. Like, he's not very athletic. And so we would kind of laugh at him or make fun of him, and he would be like, "I'm doing it again. I'm going to do it again." And we're like, dude, like, you've won 3 Super Bowls. We're just kidding. Nobody cares. Just keep throwing to the open guy and winning. But, like, he took it personally that we were laughing about his lack of good feet in the agility drills. So he's just such a psycho that I thought he would get to the point where he thought he could still really play at a high level, and the Patriots no longer felt that way, because Belichick is the most unsentimental, cold, calculating decision maker that we've ever seen. So you got the biggest psychopath in terms of being self-motivated and determined in Brady, and then the number one guy in terms of lack of sentimentality in terms of Belichick. I always thought he would end up somewhere else, but now that he got to like be 42 years old and the owner loved him, I thought, well, they'll figure it out. Like, they'll find a way for him to stay. So I was a little bit surprised, but the whole thing went down 2 years ago. You know how Brady said to Howard Stern recently that, you know, he knew before the year that was probably his last year? That's because 2 years ago, in August of 2018, he was making $20 million, and like Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers are getting these contracts for $34, $35 million. So he asked the Patriots for a little more money. Like, hey, can I get like $5 million more? Like, I'm okay taking less, but not like half. And they said, sure. And they gave him $5 million in incentives. And they went on to win the Super Bowl, but he didn't get the incentives. Like, the guy had taken, depending on what estimates you look at, between $60 and $100 million less than he probably could have throughout his career. He asked for $5 million, and you tell him he has to hit these incentives. Like, if that's not the most insulting, disrespectful thing I've ever heard, that the guy saved you $65 million and you're going to make him have to get five. I think right then he was like, okay, that's it. After this year, I'm making it so I can get out of it after the next year. No franchise tag, nothing. I see what's happening here. This is ridiculous. I'm out of here. He's like a way classier guy than I would have been.
Huh. Does Belichick think he can win with Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer? And do you think he takes that as a personal challenge, Ross? Or do you think he's looking at the draft for something else, or maybe for Cam Newton or a different quarterback who's actually been there and maybe a little higher ceiling than some of the guys he might have?
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to draft a guy. I think that they saw enough positives from Jarrett Stidham, who they took in the fourth round last year, that it really wouldn't make sense to draft a guy unless they thought the guy was light years better. You know, I think because of their experience with Brady and even Matt Castle as a seventh round pick, I think that they have a lot of confidence in their ability to get Stidham to play pretty well on that rookie cheap contract. They have like $25 million in dead cap space, which never happens to the Patriots. So I think that they want to give Stidham a spin, see what he is. If he's good, great. If he stinks, then they'll be in the market one way or the other a year from now. I know there's some people saying, well, maybe they'll just be terrible this year and then they'll get Trevor Lawrence or something. I just can't envision, you know, Devin McCourty and Matthew Slater, and they have Joe Thuney back on the franchise tag. Like, that's not signing like 34-year-old guys and having Thuney on the franchise tag for a year. That's not a team looking to tank or looking to not win game. I have a tough time picturing them not somehow winning 6, 7, 8 games, which would take them out of the Trevor Lawrence running. But yes, I think he does look at it as a challenge. I think, even though neither one of them will admit it, Belichick and Brady are very aware of the fact that how they perform over the next few years is how people will divvy up the credit for all the championships and everything they won together. I mean, if Brady takes the Bucs to the Super Bowl and the Patriots stink, people will say, right or wrong, that it's more Brady than it is Belichick. If the opposite happens, then they'll say the opposite.
Ross Tucker joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I just want to go back to the draft for a second. If Isaiah Simmons is sitting there at 10, which I think it's going to be tough for that to happen, and there are offensive linemen sitting there at 10, would you take Simmons over an offensive lineman if you were the Browns?
Probably, yes. I think he is that kind of a difference-making player, especially like in that division when you're going against guys like Lamar Jackson. You know, he's like, he could be like the Lamar killer. You know, like, he could be the guy that is athletic enough to chase him down. You don't really have an off-the-ball backer like that now. And like I said, I think you could get Jason Peters for one more year to be your left tackle and then draft a kid in the second or third round and develop him. Or you could trade a second round pick for Trent Williams at that point. The only thing I think is interesting about that is, you know, I know Andrew Berry because, A, he went to Harvard, so there's the Ivy League thing, but B, right, you know, I did the Eagles preseason games on TV last year. So, you know, I talked with him several times, you know, leading up to those preseason games during training camp. And, you know, I don't know, the Eagles don't spend any resources on linebackers, like almost none. So I guess I wonder if Andrew adopted that philosophy or not, that it just doesn't make sense to allocate big-time resources to that position. I guess if Simmons is there at 10, we'll find out.
Knowing him the way you do, how do you think he's going to do here then with the Browns? I mean, when he got the job, what did you think?
Yeah, I think he's going to do extremely well. I love his background. First of all, not only, you know, a very bright kid, obviously, going to Harvard. He double majored at Harvard, by the way, which I didn't even know, like, people in the Ivy League did that. That's crazy. He was an awesome player. He was three-time first-team All-Ivy League. His brother, actually, his twin brother went to Princeton, so we got the raw end of that deal. His twin brother was very average, so I bust his chops about that. But then, you know, he has the time in Indianapolis with Bill Polian, right? So he has that whole sort of old-school background. Then he has the time with Sashi Brown and all of the data-driven stuff that they were doing in Cleveland then. Then he goes to Philly, which is kind of a combination of those two. And I think a front office that really does a nice job with the Eagles, won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, has a pretty talented roster. So I just think he's got a really good background, a good feel for it. He's got a pretty calm demeanor. I know Stefanski as well. Talked with him before a lot of games. I just picture those guys working together very, very well. Both very bright, very humble, good listeners. You know, I know you guys have heard this every regime for the last 20 years, but I think that the Haslam's got it right this time with Andrew Berry and Stefanski, if they can just stick with it with these guys. They're both very young, incredible resumes, very bright. And I think that they have a chance to really do something special. And I think you guys, just in general, I was down on the Browns last year. You know, I go on with Adam and Derek all the time, Dustin all the time. Yeah. Gosh, Bull and Fox. Adam, I never actually say their first names.
It's all right. Derek's
I go on with them all the time. And I thought I liked the under last year for the Browns win total because of Freddie Kitchens and all that stuff. I kind of like the over this year for the Browns. I think people are going to underrate them. And I think because of the coaching and just not having some of the issues they had a year ago, I think they're going to be better.
Ross, thank you. We'll see you for Browns Alumni Weekend. I can't wait to see you.
You know what? It's so funny you say that. I don't even mention that I played for the Browns because I wasn't actually in a regular season game. So even though I started three preseason games next to Andruzzi and Kosey Coleman, I never even mention it. If you look at, like, my jerseys hanging up, my helmets, I never even asked the Browns for my helmet. I didn't ask for the jersey. Although, you know, the Browns helmet's kind of sweet, so I probably should have taken my helmet. But I don't know. I was so bitter and so mad at that point. I was just like, I'm out of here. So anyway, I will not be at Browns Alumni Weekend. The only good thing is, because Ryan Tucker was so good, and, you know, both offensive linemen are Tucker, people sometimes think I'm him. They're like, oh, long time offensive tackle. And I'm always like, I never correct them. I'm just like, yeah, just go with it.
He probably had better tattoos, though, right?
He had much better tattoos. He also had cameras all over his hunting range. So we were in the locker room. He could see all the deer on his property from the locker room. He'd be at his locker on his laptop looking at the deer walking around his ranch in Texas. It was unbelievable. We were trying to figure out how we could maybe hook up a gun to the camera and just, like, play a video game and just, like, hit the enter button. I'm kidding for all the animal people out there. I'm kidding. But it was kind of funny. That's what he was into, tattoos and looking at the deer on his computer. It was hilarious.
That's beautiful.
That's funny. All right, we're looking forward to hearing you tonight on your show on 92.3 The Fan as well. So, hey, thank you. Take care. We'll tell Bull and Fox you said hi, too.
Thanks, Ross.
All right, see you, dudes.
Thanks, man. All right, and that was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Make sure you check out You Better You Bet Countdown to the Draft, airing tonight live at 10 o'clock on 92.3 The Fan or on the Radio.com app. Ross and numerous NFL experts will tell you everything you need to know about the upcoming NFL draft. That was fun.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.